It's the Record. I'm Steve Scherr. The Week in Review Extra, the Life in the Real City edition. Knute Berger writes for Crosscut. He is the Mossback columnist there. He's author of Putatopolis. Eli Sanders works for The Stranger as assistant editor. Big news from them.
Big news from The Nation, which listed us as the most valuable newspaper in America in its 2013 Progressive Honor Roll. And it cited The Stranger's role in the election of Kshama Sawant. And there's a couple great lines in this. It said, newspaper endorsements aren't supposed to matter much in our digital age, but papers that take bold stands and back them up with all they've got can still have a dramatic impact. And then it goes on to talk about the Sawant campaign. The Stranger's full frontal assault on politics as usual was a reminder that there are still newspapers that can shake up the status quo.
Well, all right. So Joni Balter is a news analyst, and this is our topic, really, in a sense, because the Sawant win is about people's concern that the deepening gap between the haves and the have-nots is turning this country into not just a tougher place to live, but a tougher place to rule. And that acknowledgement by The Nation is in part about that, that a $15 minimum wage is going to be an issue that won't just be in Seattle. And there were a few stories that got me thinking about this. The minimum wage battle that everybody seems to embrace from the governor on down. Small businesses are very concerned about that minimum wage. At the same time, they're very concerned about the impact of the health care law, and they're trying to come up with some compromises and got some compromises on that. And rents are spiking in this town, as many a big city sees a successful urban class coming back in. The people who can't afford to live there are forced out. So 2014?
Well, once again, I think that it's the Northwest and Seattle in particular as the laboratory for the rest of the country. It Seattle is clearly going to approve the minimum wage by, shall we say, April. And so the rest of the nation will be watching us to see, you know, how does it actually work? I mean, in some ways, the SeaTac vote isn't significant enough to be enough of a laboratory, because other airports up and down the coast have done that. But cities, this will be very interesting.
When you think about this gap between this wealth gap, this rising wealth gap, President Obama talks about it. I heard Paul Ryan talk about it. I mean, everybody is trying to figure out what it means politically, but are we actually trying to figure out what it means to those people who are trying to live in these cities?
Well, I think we are here in Seattle, and the test next year will be whether we can do anything about it, whether the momentum behind the $15 an hour minimum wage goes anywhere. Another test, by the way, nationally, will be the maneuvering for the Democratic presidential nomination, which is already underway. And there's a lot of discussion kind of informed by things like what has been happening in Washington State and Seattle, SeaTac, about whether the Democrats need a economic populist at the head of the ticket and whether Hillary Clinton can be enough of an economic populist. A lot of people point to Elizabeth Warren, who hasn't really declared an intention to run, but Elizabeth Warren is someone who is the kind of candidate they would like to see leading the party, and say that there is, based on what's going on in Seattle and elsewhere, a groundswell around the nation for someone to really forcefully take on issues of economic inequality under a banner of economic populism.
How have economic populists fared in America? Teddy Roosevelt ran as an economic populist in some ways, right?
Well, yeah, but he lost that election.
Yeah.
you know, it's but he had, it's very difficult, whether it's Teddy Roosevelt or Henry Wallace or Eugene Debs, or, you know, it's very difficult, just partly because third parties are very difficult, but they can play a very potent role over time in driving a reform agenda. And even if you have fairly moderate liberals in charge, you know, people like Elizabeth Warren can kind of put a spark plug under them and move the debate along. And populists, I mean, as I think Mike McGinn learned, populism in an executive role is difficult in Seattle. We've created a kind of mayoral culture that's very different from that. You know, the economic issue is coming up in a number of ways. One is the $15 minimum wage. Another huge one is housing and how you get affordable housing built. And, you know, some people just say, hey, let the developers do whatever they want, build tons of housing, small apartments, whatever. Other people say, well, the real estate market, they always want to maximize the investment. You don't want people building slums. So you need to control it. But this issue of providing places that are affordable for folks to live in Seattle without having to move to Burien or whatever is really critical. And that's going to be part of this whole debate. It's not just the $15 an hour. It's the other, the rents and landlord issues.
That's the part I'm going to be tracking because that's the most difficult one to deal with.
What I was thinking about is that if you think of a couple years ago with the Occupy movement, it was kind of diffused. There wasn't like a specific, here's what we need. And as time has gone on, it became, you know, a discussion about the income gap. And now it's very specific. Do this one step. I mean, there'll be others, but do this one step. In other words, a movement that started, you know, very sort of vague and unclear what it was exactly seeking has become more focused.
And I think that's what a lot of people in the Occupy movement argued in response to the complaint that it was too unfocused. We have focused actually the nation on a discussion that it wasn't having for way too many years and didn't want to have. And once you point people's eyes in that direction, and that takes a while, by the way, then the natural response is going to be, okay, what can we do about it, which is where we are right now and where all of these discussions spring from.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the president deals with that as time goes on, too.
Well, Seattle is interesting, too, because if you think back to WTO, Seattle was a big Bill Clinton town. He was very pro-free trade. You know, the liberals have been divided on this, and I just think there's a way in which in a town where Amazon is hiring young people at huge salaries and a lot of other people are working for minimum wage, you know, rewards for their bachelor's degree, I think there's a real real difficult problem to solve there.
Well, you know, people sometimes have – I heard it on news reports. I've heard people asking, well, why are so many people buying these Mega Millions tickets? Because they're not going to win. It defies the odds. But there's a reason, right? There's a little bit of hope. There's one way to get rich in America. It'll be interesting. Happy holidays. Christmases, all the other ones. We'll talk to you guys next week. Knut Berger, Eli Sanders, Joni Balter. I'm Steve Scher. This is the Week in Review Extra on the Record from KUOW Seattle.